Well, good morning. I'm going to read Proverbs 16, 21 through 24. The wise in heart are called discerning, and pleasant words promote instruction. Understanding is a fountain of life to those who have it, but folly brings punishment to fools. A wise man's heart guides his mouth, and his lips promote instruction. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones.
Thanks, Josh, for that scripture reading. Before we get into that, I just can't help myself. I try not to comment whenever people come up here and do communion thoughts, because there's always so many cool things that they say, and you know, I just can't add on to all of them, you know, and don't need to. But some of the themes he was saying and some of the themes we've been talking about in class just remind me of when. Remember when that redhead kid came up here and just led a song? Well, if you're visiting with us, you may not know, but that good-looking ginger was my son. And super proud of him. And that song he sang, that it felt like that was like a 90s youth group kid song. Do y'all remember that? Yeah. And he said it was new to him, and that almost made me sad. I felt like I was failing as a parent. Like, how is that one new to you? But then we sang that second verse, and I think that second verse was new to everyone. You know, so there's some old and new in there. But something that's just really sweet, and just thinking about tradition and things passed down and love of our tradition, that pitch pipe he used. I don't know how to use a pitch pipe. I don't even get it. Sometimes I'm just like, they're just blowing random stuff in there to look professional. But he really knows what he's doing. That pitch pipe was my mother's, and she's passed it down to him. And so I just love the way that it all connects. You know, I love what's been passed down to us. Appreciate Josh's scripture reading. And as I think about like Proverbs has a lot of just little sayings. And some of those little sayings almost can just stand in isolation, right? Like you can just focus on, and sometimes they almost feel like the little sayings aren't connected. But I picked a group of those sayings that I think are pretty well connected. And really, if you were to summarize those, which whenever you summarize scripture, you miss some important things. So I always want to be careful summarizing scripture. But if you were to summarize them, you might come up with another scripture, Proverbs 18, verse 21. The tongue has the power of life and death. The tongue has the power of life and death. That's kind of the main thing I want you to hear this morning. I know I said we're going to talk about the Mayus, we're going to talk about the Mayus, but I really felt like before we get into that, we really need to establish the power of our words and the weight our words can carry. And so the text that Josh read, it really, to me, kind of unpacks this scripture. It gives some examples of how our words can build up and how they can tear down. Something in my prayer life, my own spiritual life, that I've recognized that I just want to share with you, and maybe some of you have experienced this as well, is I've been believing a lie. I've been believing this lie that I am powerless and my actions just don't matter. Have you ever felt that way? Like, I've just had this defeated idea that what I say and what I do is of no consequence, that people are just gonna think what they want, people are gonna do what they want, that people can't really change. You ever felt that? It's like, it doesn't matter what I do here. I think maybe that's a lie that Satan really wants ministers to hear. Maybe it's a lie that evil wants Christians to believe. That what you do as followers of Christ just doesn't matter. And so you should just stop doing it. Sometimes I've had that lie whispered in my ear. And I really, one of the big things I want you to hear this morning is we got to stop believing that lie, if anybody is believing that. Because it may be some of you are feeling, well, sometimes that belief that what I do doesn't matter, sometimes that's been verified, right? That's usually why we end up believing that lie, is because somewhere in our lives that has been our experience. I've done all these things. I've worked really hard. I've put all this effort in, and it just isn't getting the result it should. Maybe you've experienced that. Like, to some people, it just like, man, you're just talking to a wall, right? It just bounces right off. They won't accept anything new. They don't want to listen. They don't want to change. Or maybe you can like just feel like, I can serve these people. I can forgive these people. But their hearts are just so hard. Sometimes that happens. But the key word there is sometimes. That is not always the case. Surely it's not. Surely in your experience, that has not always been the case. You have to know that. That just because your actions in some situation didn't have the results you wanted does not mean that you have no power. It does not mean that you cannot bring about real change. And someone, you know, a friend actually sent me an encouragement just a couple of days ago that said, don't forget that, like, whatever you do, even if it doesn't get, this is a paraphrase, even if it didn't get the immediate results that you hoped, what you did, how you served, the words you spoke, that it could have an impact way down the road that you will never know about. And I think that's a really important thing to remember. Sometimes we don't get to see the results of the good things that we've done. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 tells us that we have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-discipline. And this proverb this morning says one of those sources of power is from our words. Our words have the power of life and death. Our words can build up and they can tear down. And so I want to look at a few of these examples, because there's a few examples of saying, here's how your words have the power of death. Here's how your words can tear down. Proverbs 16, verse 27, scoundrels concoct evil and their speech is like a scorching fire. I can't help but be amused by the picture, like the girl all happy and then kind of like a kind of harsh sounding verse there. But it's a good point, right? Sometimes hurtful words burn like a scorching fire. People even say that, like whenever someone like busts on you, they'll be like, ooh, burn. Like really, words can burn. They can hurt. I can think of a lot of times when I start thinking about this, my mind goes to, oh, I can think about times when people's words hurt me. I can think about when people said hurtful things about me as my character, my whatever, my looks, criticizing me as a person or a minister. Like, and maybe some of you guys go there when you think about this, oh, I can think about times when words hurt me. But if you do that, you also have to flip it. You're almost forced to reckon with the fact that my words have torn down others. My words have hurt my friends and my family, my spouse. And whether it be because I was purposefully attacking, whether it be because I was thoughtless, or I was elevating myself in some way, my words have hurt people. And I think that's something we all need to acknowledge this morning. Is our words do have power. Our words have had power to tear down. So when I think I'm powerless, I can't think about that. Well, my words they've burned people before. Verse 28 says, a gossip separates close friends. That's a lot of power. Separating a close friend, that's a lot of power. And it's really sad, right? You ever seen close friends be separated? Maybe you've been in that situation. Maybe you've lost a close friend. Man, that is hard. It is sad to see that. To see people that were in community, people that were compatible, to see that end. Words can do that. Words can tear up people. Words can tear up community. Gossip is something, it feels small. It just feels small. It doesn't feel like a big deal. But it can destroy relationships, families, churches. It is a dangerous power. Your words have a dangerous power to them. And, you know, I think when we think about God, we all, myself included, we all need to be more careful about how we speak about other people. And I will say this, one of the things that's hard about talking about people, it's talking about people is not always gossip necessarily. Like gossip has this connotation that it's negative. You are speaking negatively about people. And so there is space sometimes to speak about people. And one way I've heard it put is that if you are speaking about people in a loving way that is attempting to solve a problem, then it might be, I'm just going to say might be, because I think we're quick to absolve ourselves from gossip, but it might be okay if the conversation is like, hey, what's up with this person right now? What's going on in their lives? Why are they being this way? What can we do to serve them? How can we help? How do we need to move forward? Like sometimes when you are trying to solve a problem and not tear someone down, it might be okay. I've also heard people say, I'm not gossiping, I'm venting. First off, probably not. You're probably gossiping. There may be a place to vent, but it's got to be someone way outside of the situation, and you need to know that your heart is not trying to turn someone against someone else. Because that's a lot of times what I think is a cloaked thing that's happening, is you're trying to turn someone against someone else, and that's wrong. And that shows how powerful your words are. And another one, generally speaking, I think there's just a good general rule, and you got to have some wisdom on how to apply this, is when you speak about someone to someone else, you need to think, am I willing to say this to that person? Now, just because you're willing to say it to that person doesn't mean what you did was okay. So I'm not absolving you from gossip, but I think that is an important thing to have in the back of your mind and be thinking about is, hey, is this something that I really need to be sharing with this person? And if you're not willing to share it with that person, then you probably, generally speaking, there may be some intricacies of this, but you probably shouldn't speak it at all if you haven't already said it to that person or you don't plan to. And this is really in line with what we've been talking about on Wednesday night, Matthew 18, verse 15. If your brother sins against you, go to them. That's step one. Go to the, not go to the elders, not go to your friend, not go to another person at church so they'll get mad at that person with you. Go to them. So this, for some of you, this may be the most important thing you need to hear this morning. Who have you talked about that you need to talk to? Who have you spoken about that you need to speak to? Maybe when you talk about them to someone else, your words are bringing death. Your words are destroying. But if you could lovingly and carefully go to them, maybe then those words are building up and bringing life. And I know that's really hard, right? It is really hard to go to somebody with a problem or with a criticism or addressing their sin. I know there's a lot of risk in that because you might be hurt or you might be rejected or they may not listen to you. There's a lot of reasons to not do it. But you may also be surprised. Give that person a chance to surprise you. Give that person a chance to do the right thing. And maybe it'll even be hurtful at first, but then down the road, they'll think about it and they might change. So who are those people that you have a qualm or an issue with, and you're just talking about them, and maybe you just need to go talk to them? For someone in here, I think someone needs to hear that. Someone needs to change that. But all this to say, this scripture we're looking at, your words have power to do damage, to hurt lives, to hurt relationships, to hurt people's sense of self-worth. You really have that power to impact that. But there's also your words have power of life. And there's some really nice things that these scriptures are saying about that. Proverbs 16, verse 21 and verse 23 in our scripture, they're both implying that wise words promote instruction. Gracious words promote instruction. Some versions say instead of promote instruction, they say they're persuasive. Wise words, gracious words are persuasive, meaning easier to believe, more convincing. When your words are wise, when they are careful, when they are gracious, people are more willing to believe what you're saying. That's important. We as Christians have some powerful messages, and we want to speak them with grace and with wisdom so that they will not reject what we are saying, so that it will be more believable. And so for the sake of our Sunday morning class, I think that's a really important thing to think about. Wise people speak gracious words, and that makes this truth that we are called to speak, it makes it easier to believe. Because some people have spoken truth in aggressive, hateful, me-centered ways, and it's kind of worked against us. So we want to speak the truth with grace and with wisdom to make it, to promote instruction, to make it persuasive. If we aren't careful how we tell the truth, it becomes hard to believe when we scream it, blast it, or speak it at the wrong time, if it's done without kindness. But this implies also that wise words are worth hearing. Wise words are worth hearing. And I think sometimes you might be thinking, well, if people aren't hearing my wise words, are they not wise? You should ask yourself that question. I ask myself that question a lot. You should ask that. But there is a chance that people just don't listen to wise words. That does happen. There's a lot about that in Scripture. People are rejecting wise words, and they call those people fools. A fool is someone who rejects wisdom. So that does sometimes happen. But I really love the one that I really wanted to zero in on is verse 24. Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul, healthy for the body. I love that. Some versions say good for the bones. And kind words, really words of blessing, words of love, something we're really going to be encouraged to be speaking this month. Words of encouragement. They are sweet to the soul. But are they really good for you physically? Is this like just figurative, or is it actually saying, is it possible that kind words spoken can be good for your soul, but might actually have bodily benefits? That might actually benefit your physical body? Lately, I've had, you guys are such a blessing to me. Lately, I've had some good friends here speak good words to me at just the right time when I needed it. People at church, friends, and I know that it is not just my friends speaking these words over me, but it's the Holy Spirit, and so I thank you for those. And it's been good for my soul, but there is a part of me where I'm like, man, I hope this is good for my back. You know, I hope these words have some physical implications. But I did some non-scholarly research on this, and you've probably heard some of this, that positive words actually can have a positive impact on the physical realm. Positive words actually can have a positive impact on your body. And essentially, it's this idea that positive words can impact your emotional state, and that positive emotional state actually has a positive impact on physical health. And as I was researching that, I was kind of looking at from like when I receive positive words, encouragement, does that help my health? But it does. There were some studies saying that, but there was more studies on how it blesses the speaker of those positive words. When you speak encouragement and when you speak positivity, when you speak life over people, it's good for your health. And I mean, they can really, I won't get into all of it, but it boosts good stuff in your brain and in your body, like serotonin and dopamine and endorphins. Oxytocin is released. So it actually does something in your physical body when you do that that is good for you. It can decrease the bad stuff like cortisol and blood pressure. So it actually does. There actually is physical implications to your words and more ways than just that, but that's one. But kind words really are good for everybody. They're good for the speaker. They are good for the receiver. Maybe we should just do that more. Have you ever thought a kind thought and then didn't speak it? You ever thought nice encouragements over someone and didn't say it? You should just say it. And maybe you thought like, oh, they know. And maybe they do know. But maybe they still need to hear that from time to time. Speak those good thoughts that you have. Tell that person, and maybe they don't know. Maybe they really needed to hear those words, but if you have those positive, life-giving words on your heart, just speak them into existence. You might be speaking it at just the right time. And it really may not just be scientific that kind words can help and heal. I kind of point to some scientific things. But there may actually be a way that your kind words and your blessings you speak and your encouragements and for lack of a better term, there may be a supernatural way in which those words help. Your prayerful kind words, prayerful blessings to others might bring about change, not just from the positive affirmations and not just from things going on in their brain, but through God's power. Through God's power, those words can have an impact. God said, let there be light, and there was light. That's how powerful God's words are. That's huge. That's, you know, and maybe you can't just speak things into existence, but your words have a powerful impact on physical existence. Your words have more power than you think. Power on people's relationships, power on people's self-worth, power on people's relationships with God. But when your words come from God's power, maybe they have a lot more power. Maybe they can do some amazing things that you never thought possible. Your words matter. So the challenge for this morning and for this month is to claim the power of your words and use them to speak life over people. And today I kind of talk about some casual ways when you think the kind thoughts, when you see the thing that the good thing people are doing, name it, bless it, tell them, build those people up, say the kind things that you think but don't say. And we're going to talk more as we progress through the month about formal blessings, these formal may you blessings in Scripture and how we can live those out. But when Jesus, in Matthew 10, Jesus sends out the 12, he sends out the apostles. And he tells them in verse 19, he says, there's probably going to be some times where you get arrested. And when you get arrested, don't worry about what you need to say. God will give you the right words at the right time. God's going to give you the right words at the right time. And I believe that's a, I believe he tells the disciples that, but I believe that is something he gives for all future believers, that there will be times where the Spirit will give us the words that we need to speak. I believe he still gives us words at just the right time. Have you ever received the words at just the right time? You ever had someone speak words over you that was just so well timed? Just what you needed to hear. Yeah, I believe God still does that, and the Spirit still does that. God puts words on our hearts to be spoken. May we boldly, lovingly, and wisely speak those words. If you're here this morning and you want to give your life to Christ, if you need prayers of the congregation, we want to invite you to come be a part of God's family, to come be blessed. If you have any need at all, come now as together we stand and sing.